the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Golf Podcast. This is episode number 132. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about golf swing deceleration, that dreaded feeling when you just don't have the confidence in the shot and you slow the club down. Oh, I hate that. And it just happened to me this past week. So I want to talk about that. But we got some great tips, ways that you can kind of get away from that and just start retraining your brain so it won't happen to you again. Definitely looking forward to this one. Before we jump into stuff tonight, though, Mike, we've only got, what, two more weeks left, I think, in our big giveaway. Mm-hmm. If you haven't had a chance to get into that yet, we've had a lot of entries, a lot of people who've entered over the last month or so. But if you haven't heard about it, we're giving away our biggest prize ever. What we're going to be doing is at the end of September, we're going to be announcing a grand prize winner. You're going to win an Arcos driver, a Voice Caddy VC300, and a Champ Grip Spike Tee package. It's a $300 value. And we're also going to have four runners up. Everybody's going to take home a $20 Amazon gift card. So five total giveaways. Very easy to enter. All you have to do is subscribe to the Golf Podcast on iTunes, leave us a quick review on iTunes, and then let us know who you are. You can do all of that by going to golficity.com/giveaway. Even if you listen to us on a Windows machine or something like that, you can still download iTunes. You'll still have access to it. So I encourage everybody to check that out because you can get entered in 2 minutes and you get a chance to win. Very easy to do. So definitely check that out. And everyone who's entered so far, thank you. I know we usually like to read a lot of the reviews here. We've had so many of them. What we're going to do is just kind of hit the highlights of a few of the better ones once we get to where we announce our winner at the end of September. So again, appreciate everybody doing that. Mike, I can't wait to give away this prize. It's like burning a hole in my pocket here. You know, I'm itching to do it.
I know it's exciting. And you know what's great? And here's a little bit of advice. This is a way you know when it's going to end. It's in line with the FedEx Cup playoffs, right? We got two more weeks of that. We got two more weeks of this contest, you know, so there's going to be a big winner there. There's going to be a big winner here. So I love giving stuff away, especially cool stuff like that, Frank. But, you know, speaking of that, I wanted to ask you, because now that it's on my mind, we're talking playoffs. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go for it.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, now that you saw the guys dominate, or some of them dominated and some of them got chewed up at Bethpage, and you just played there, what was your thoughts?
First of all, unbelievable how talented these guys are. Mm-hmm. And I mean, okay, so I'm looking at that at number four, that par five that I told you gave me such trouble. And then these guys are, you know, putting for eagle on that hole. And I'm just like, my God. But it just proves, like, I mean, there's execution and there's strategy. Like, a lot of times that separates the difference between some of the amateurs and the pros, is that we can start to hone in our strategy, but the execution, it's tough to do it every time. Like, these guys can do it. I mean, we also don't hit 200 balls a day for 20 years, but
right.
But I mean, I look at that and I'm like, okay, it's true. It is as tricky as it is, because it eats us up with how tight it is and the dramatic difference in the, you know, one fairway to the other in elevation, the fescue, everything I talked about on a previous episode. It's not that long, and these guys are just smart enough to just put that first shot in that fairway, and then they could either, depending on where it ended, they could take a crack at that green. You know, which was like a postage stamp. That's the other thing. I remember the only one who really got tight to that pin was Spieth, and he had to take that risk of actually landing it in the rough, which could have got checked up and then let it roll on.
Right.
So no matter what, it's a difficult hole. But I mean, it's just amazing. But it just shows you that is such a difficult course, and it just was such a privilege to get to play it. I mean, looking at these guys, they're just struggling to hang on to those pars. You know, of course, you had like Reed as the standout. Like, he was just dropping some amazing birdies. But like, even Fowler there at the end, just trying to hang on to pars to stay going. It's just so hard to do there at Bethpage.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. We both played it and it kind of beat us both up. So yeah. It's pretty great to watch. I mean, Reed's unbelievable. What's great about these guys, and it kind of ties into our own game. I mean, I don't know if you go through this. Are there certain courses you play that you get fired up? I mean, we're not playing tournaments, so we don't have certain events we play that fire us up. You get a guy like Reed, Ryder Cup, playoffs, he gets fired up and he wins, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, do you get fired up? I mean, you play the same course every day, pretty much every time you go out. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like there's certain courses out there, and some people out there who are listening might feel the same way. I just get super excited going into them. It's kind of like my playoffs because I know that, you know, I know the ins and out of the course. I play well there. All these great things, you know, it just kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Dude, I feel the same way. There's certain ones, like one big one for me is Ballyowen.
Yeah, there you go.
I get so fired up because I love that track. It's beautiful. And the reason why it's been in my mind, too, is I think I talked about this on the show a while back. I played in a group with a bachelor. It was a bachelor party. And we played, I think, five of us. And it was one of those where they got the round for free because the wedding was going to be there the next day. And whatever it was, that we were all able to go out there. And it wasn't crowded. It was kind of just us. We went off late. And none of the other guys were golfers. And this to this day eats me up. I was shooting one of my best rounds ever, and we had to call it quits at 14 because we are, I think, 5.5 hours in. I know people are hearing that and they're probably like gritting their teeth thinking that's crazy, but it's true. These guys just couldn't do it. And we got to a point where it was just too dark. You know, we ran out of daylight and so now I've always been itching to get back in and play it again. But you're right. It's that competitive spirit. We saw it with Tiger. You know, yep. And these guys, it seems like when it gets competitive, and Reed definitely has that, you know, when it gets really competitive, they just, you know, they just seem to play better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, the other thing is, aside from Bethpage, I've really been enjoying the playoffs, you know, even more and more every year. I know, like, at first people were kind of wondering and criticizing the FedEx Cup and the point system and stuff like that, but I mean, I love it. I kind of like that little bit of elimination going in, guys playing to not get eliminated and go to the next week. But the other thing I love is that it's probably the only time in the season where you see so many consecutive events with all the top names.
Right.
You know, it's like we all tune into the majors because we see everybody comes in and plays it. But then you look at, like, you know, you've got pretty much everybody in the, you know, official world rankings, the top 25, they're all there playing 4 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you get to see them 4 weeks in a row. That's one of the big things that I really like about the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the best part. I mean, it's four majors in a row, essentially. And you and I are lucky. We always get one event right in our hometown area. So, you know, yeah. I love them. And then, of course, we got the Ryder Cup coming up, too, which I'm super stoked about.
Yes. Yeah. I can't wait for that. That competitive, you know, that type of match play stuff is always, mm-hmm. they're always glued to the screen for that. And it's just amazing how quickly this season's gone. It's hard to believe it's almost at the end, but
I know.
It's insane. Okay. So before we talk about deceleration, couple quick things I want to mention. One, first of all, last week's episode, you know, we talked about how to score on the par fives. Tons and tons of great, you know, emails and stuff that came in from everyone out there. So I appreciate that. Amazing. I always like to say, give us some feedback on what you guys struggle with. So many people wrote to us the same thing. They've always been in that mindset. They step up to a par five and all they do is swing out of their shoes. Mm-hmm. And it ends up setting them up for a problem. So if you haven't had a chance to get to listen to that, go back to episode 131, check that out. Also going back an episode or two, this is kind of cool. Mike, you know, Richard Todd, he's author of The Golf Rules and stuff like that. And we've covered, he's kind of our unofficial rules guy. When we have a question, we always go to him because he just knows them in and out. But it was really cool. He sent us an email just a couple of days ago saying that, you know, he just never played with his driver. You know, it's just something he just didn't put a part of his game. He always just like kind of like worked on his 3-iron off the tee. But he said after hearing Mike talk about his driving right range session where he just hit the driver, he decided to follow that advice. And he said after a couple of visits, he's striping his tee shot down the middle around 275.
Wow.
So he said, this is a couple of days ago, but he said, last night I took that out to the course. My first two had a strong fade, but he didn't give up. And then he said by the end of the round, he's consistently dropping his drive close enough for a wedge and hitting pars. He loves it. So he said, thanks, guys. You changed my golf game for the rest of my life. That's awesome. That when love I hear it. That stuff, that's what you talk about motivation. That's what motivates me to do these episodes every week. So,
right.
Richard, appreciate you writing in about that. But yeah, that was where, let me look here. We talked about episode 127 is what he's referencing, where we talked about hating that one club in your bag. Mm-hmm. Right. And you had mentioned how it ebbed and flowed and now you love the driver. And then for a while you were hating it and you were hitting the 3-wood off the tee. And then you just did that concentrated range session. So anybody didn't get a chance to listen to episode 127, check that out. Yeah. So I love seeing that. Love hearing that. Mike, I'm finally feeling like my swing is coming back after being out the whole beginning of the season with that back issue. Played again this past weekend.
Okay.
I can tell you honestly, I didn't have one drive that I could think would be even somewhat good. So scrambling the whole time. Mm-hmm. I don't think I hit a fairway with the drive, but I didn't give up on it. You know, I kept the driver going. I didn't drop down to the irons because I know I'm working back into my swing, but it does tell me it's an indication. Like we said, I got to get to the range. I got to hit the driver. Actually, interestingly enough, it's a problem. It's common with amateurs, pros alike. I remember after, I think it was the second round of the Barclays, Jordan Spieth gave a quick interview. I was just kind of watching it on my iPad. And he said that his driver was what was giving him trouble. So he said he couldn't set himself up, you know, nicely. He said if his driver was working, everything else fell into place, is what he said. When it wasn't, mm-hmm. it wasn't. So he was going right from that round to the range right there. And he was going to work on it. And I thought that was a great tip. Like we talk about again, if you don't see it on TV, we don't watch them on the range. You know, you don't see that how much work they put in. We just think they're natural talents, which sure, they've got a lot of talent, but if you want to motivate yourself to work on your game, think about that. But the other thing is, I thought this was a great idea. A lot of times we're rushing out there to play because we're trying to make a tee time or whatever we're doing, and we don't get to hit the range, and that's its own problem. But what we don't often think about, you know, as amateurs, like, all right, our round's over, we go in, you know, hit the bar and have a beer or something. That's kind of a prime time too to hit the range. You know,
yeah.
I can tell you honestly, this didn't cross my mind that much, but I started thinking about like that might be how I can squeeze in that extra like half hour practice afterwards because you know what you need to work on. So that's where I was at, but he's so right. Like sometimes with that drive, it just kind of sets everything else up. So, you know, I was having to punch a lot of stuff back in the fairway and doing silly stuff, but all said and done, strung together a nice round. I shot an 86. I'm very okay. happy with that. Mm-hmm. You know, only a couple rounds back after being off for months and months and months, you know, fired a couple rounds in low 90s, mid 90s. I'm working my way back into the mid 80s and hoping to be back where I was playing, you know, a year ago. Maybe I can before the winter rolls in. So I'm just trying to work myself in that right direction.
Dude, that's pretty solid. And you know what? You brought up a great point because I can't tell you any time that I have finished a round and have went to practice after the round.
Yeah.
You don't think of it, right? No, because you're done. You're essentially done. I mean, we think of the range and all that stuff as your warm up before you go out, but we never kind of look at it as kind of a cool down, really. You know what I mean?
Right. And it's fresh in your mind. That's what I like about it. 'Cause sometimes like you try to remember, you know, what wasn't working, and you try to work, you know, all right, next time I go to a range session, I'm going to work on that. But when it's fresh in your mind, it's like, okay, your frustration's there. You're like, I know what was holding me back in that round. Let me go there. And I like too, it kind of sets you up. We talk a lot about confidence, you know, here and because how important that is. I think that sets you up with a lot of confidence going into your next round. If instead of walking away with that bad thought in your mind, like mine, it could have been like, I couldn't hit my driver all day. If I take the time then hit the range, straighten it out on the range, it'd be like, all right, you know, I shot well, even without my driver, I worked my driver out on the range. Now I got to build on that success going into the next one.
Right.
Boom. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about it. That's the way you start to bank confidence, you know, and you can really do it that way. So that was really cool. So taking a quick segue here and talking about tonight's episode, talking about, you know, golf swing deceleration. Let me tell you about one that was frustrating for me when I was out there. Par 5, and I'm in the fairway about 40 yards out in laying 2, right? Mm-hmm. So here I am, set myself up for a good chance. Like we talked about on the par 5 episode, I was playing it for 3, didn't try to stretch my second shot out to try to, you know, hit the green, just try to put it nicely in the fairway where I have a nice, easy kind of approach shot in where I could put it tight, maybe make my birdie, if not get out of there, my par. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Pull out my 52 degree wedge. And I'll tell you right now, I struggle with hitting that high lofted club on tight lies. It's just the truth. I can tell you right in our notes, I've got coming up probably in the next, you know, 6 weeks or so, we're working on an episode where we're going to talk about hitting, you know, wedges off of tight lies, but just didn't have the confidence in it. And here I am. I went from a position where I could have done that. I dramatically decelerated, you know, coming through it because I was worried about cutting into the ground. I was worried about flying it over the green. I was worried about, did I have the right club? Did I make the right decision? And literally, Mike, I think I just kind of flopped it about 20 yards and I'm still 20 yards short. You know, I'm kicking myself and I'm like, that's what I mean. And that's why I knew, like, this is the episode. This is the topic tonight, because I didn't do it. I didn't commit. I didn't accelerate through it. And I would have much rather maybe even stuck with it and hit it a little, you know, too far, maybe the back of the green, rather than set myself up. Now I got another 20 yard pitch, chip, whatever you want to call it. And now I really got to work to save that par. You know, I walked out of there with the bogey. So that's something that just made me think, like, I'm glad we're covering this tonight.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us. I mean, I hate those short shots, and I always decelerate through the ball, and I always come up short. It just happens. Everything just goes out the window for some reason. You know, when I'm like 50 yards and in, you know, well, actually 50 to like 20, you know, like 20 and in, I'm fine. Or maybe even 10 and in, I'm fine. Those little short little pitches onto the green. But, you know, sometimes I don't want to hit the ball that close to the green. Like, we always talk about just put yourself to 100 out. If I'm 56 out, then I'm start scratching my head, go, oh man, what do I do?
There's so much that goes into it. A lot of it is just not practicing that shot, because very few of us will pay for a bucket of balls at the range and work on a 40 yard shot. I'll give you that when we should. That's what the pros are doing. Also on those tight lies, it can be tough, because with the way that the wedge is designed and the bounce and things like that, it can cut in if you hit behind it versus, I mean, we all kind of love that shot where it's in that little bit, you know, the little bit longer rough, like the second cut. And it's propped up nicely. It's like being on a tee. We love that with a wedge and get it nice and high. But, you know, there's all different things. But the result is a lot of times is this deceleration. So generally speaking, I mean, across the board, deceleration, it's a big no-no. And what we're referring to here is when it's the actual action of slowing the club down before impact. And that's never going to lead to a good shot. So what you need to do, you got to make sure, and this is going to be for all shots, Mike, anything from a short chip shot to a driver, the key is to make sure that that club is accelerating properly all the way through the hitting area. And it's every shot, you know, like I said, even putting, truthfully, you can, and people do decelerate on their putting stroke. And that often too can result in a lot of, you know, missteps and problems and things like that. So here again, it's like anything we cover, it's easier said than done, to try to stop that deceleration. But when it happens, often you feel it. It often feels like a non-committal to the shot. If you're a real beginner and you're just working your swing out, you may not totally realize it that you're decelerating. But again, what we want to work towards is where that you're reaching that maximum point of acceleration at the ball, or even a little bit past it, and you're not slowing down before that. So a couple of tips that we have, and a couple of things that you can work in and ways of thinking, so that you don't have to be conceptualizing the speed versus the not, and you can work on some more specific things. The first thing is, and it's a great way to break it, if you have a deceleration habit, it could be all the way through your game, or it could be in one specific area like Mike and I are talking about. But a good thing you can do is just try to focus on a spot just past the ball. Okay. So a lot of golfers will swing down, you know, with the idea that the ball kind of marks the end of the swing, but that's just not the case. You know, a good golf swing is going to go all the way through the hitting area up into a good finish position every time. Mm-hmm. So as you make that swing, you want to move quickly through impact and beyond without any slowdown taking place. So remember here, obviously you still want to be looking at the ball while you're swinging. You don't want to look at a spot in front of the ball. I just don't think that that's a great idea. So you shouldn't be thinking, but more importantly, bigger picture, you just don't want to be thinking of that ball as a stop sign. You don't want to be thinking that's where it ends. In other words, it's accelerating to that point. The stopping is what's happening much later, just with your natural motion. So as I'm thinking about this, Mike, one thing I thought a good kind of analogy for that is, a lot of us used to play baseball. I know you did. I did. Mm-hmm. Remember what you coaches would always say? It was run through first base.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's the same thing with your golf swing. If you start to check up, you know, this is where, you know, you're going to get punched out every time at first if you start to check up before you get to first base, because you're trying to slow down and just stop on the base or whatever it may be. what we're always taught is like you should be hitting max acceleration, you know, when you're stepping on that base, so to speak. So you're accelerating all the way down to first base. Same thing with your golf swing. Think of your golf swing the same way. Think of the ball being first base and you're going all the way through it. And then afterwards is when that momentum slowly slows down. And that's a great way to start to just work it out. And that's what I've been doing, truthfully, Mike, with these shorter pitch shots is more, all right, I set up, I do my whole alignment, I do everything. And then I just kind of visualize the club, you know, coming down through that ball, you know, and then hitting almost, you know, like you see when we see on the PGA Tour, you see those slow-mo shots, like those cut shots before the commercials where they show the guys like cutting in and leaving that divot. And you could see that club does not touch the ground before, you know, making contact with that ball.
Yeah.
So, and I'll digress for a second, but it's a very interesting point. I thought about that when I was watching it the other day. A lot of the reason too, why we're like, how do these pros hit the ball so far? They're so efficient. What we don't realize, if you showed a slow-mo of a lot of amateurs, even if it's only a half an inch behind the ball that they're hitting, you may not even really feel it. You can almost can't tell because like, where did my divot start? But even a half inch making contact with the ground's not going anywhere. You know, the little ball goes somewhere. The big ball doesn't go anywhere, you know, the earth. Mm-hmm. So that little bit can instantly shave like 30, you know, whatever miles an hour off your swing speed in that millisecond. Yeah. And what we don't realize is that's a part of the reason. We may be at some point in our swing swinging just as fast as the pros. What we don't realize is we lose so much of it because of inefficiency when touching that ground. So
interesting.
Just something I thought about. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we want to do. Just focus on coming through that ball, down through the ball, you know, and then all the way to that acceleration point. And that can be, and that's something we talked about, the whip drill. You can work with that and just make that whoosh sound. But making sure that it's happening at that moment of impact. Another thing you got to do, like, and here's a big thing that comes into it, it's confidence. We started talking about this earlier. It's one of the biggest keys when avoiding that deceleration. A lot of times, and I know for me, it's pretty much every time, deceleration, it's taking place because I'm unsure about my swing, you know, as I approach impact. So again, here, what are we talking about, Mike? It's not full swings. It's finesse shots. It's where we're trying to control the distance. You know, I hit my pitching wedge, let's say 130, right? If I'm 130 out, I don't have to think about that. I just take a full swing on it. But if I'm 100, now I got to start thinking about it. And a lot of times, if I'm not confident in it, that's where the deceleration comes down. And we try to steer it too. I hate that, you know?
Exactly. You try
to steer it. And again, I can use another baseball analogy, a pitcher, you know, when they're trying to steer the ball rather than just throwing it, a lot of times a little bit of deceleration in the arm speed a little bit too, because you just want to hold on to it for another second, you know, just to kind of steer it there with your fingers. Same thing can happen with a club.
You know, it's crazy because how many times we can all relate, how many times have we come up to a 350 yard par four and we've got the 100 yards in or the 80 yards in and the 70 yards in, and we're walking up to our ball and we're like, sweet, we're pounding, we're high fiving, great shot. I'm like, awesome. I'm in the middle of the fairway. The green is right there. And then boom, we miss the green.
Yep.
You know, we pushed it left and then we chipped it over into the bunker. We walk away with like a six.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, after we all say the comment, after that drive, you know, I get a six or something. Like, everyone always says it, you know.
Always.
So, what a waste of a good drive or something like that. Because you're absolutely right. Everything kind of goes out the window the minute you're not taking a full normal swing.
Right.
I mean, even when I'm dancing around the greens 20, 30 yards, I kind of feel like I have this part of my game. And this may be helpful if you may have done it, where I kind of know based on the clock, so to speak, like if my swing is like kind of part of a clock and like, you know, 9 o'clock or 3 o'clock, I should say, I'm a righty, is, you know, straight back. I kind of know that if I'm 40 yards, I'm straight back. If I'm 50 yards, I'm a little bit above that. So my backswing, now correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm doing this wrong, then, you know, maybe this is my problem, but I feel like I have to shorten the swing a little for every like 10 yards that I'm closer to the green.
Yeah.
And well, with obviously,
you're going to have to take some off of it because it's going to be less than a full swing. I think the key, though, is no matter where you end up, again, here's where the confidence comes in, you got to commit to it. The problem is when I'll use round numbers. Let's say you, in your mind, you're like, okay, this is a 60 yard shot. This is a 3/4 swing for me. And then you come back 3/4 and somewhere in there, even if it's in your subconscious, you second guess yourself. Maybe it's not a 3/4, right? You start thinking this in that quick downswing and you just take some off of it, trying to steer it. And yeah, that's what happens. A lot of things are going to go wrong. Trust me. When the brain, you know, kind of tries to override the big muscles during that movement and all of a sudden tries to put the brakes on, the club face is not going to hit squarely. Sometimes you could hit it off the hosel, the toe, you could shoot left, right, a lot of things that can go wrong. So what the key really comes down to, Mike, and everyone has different techniques. I mean, that's fine if your technique is thinking of it as a clock, whatever. But the next question that obviously would come to mind is that, okay, then how do I build the confidence?
Right.
And what that really comes down to is putting that time in on the driving range. I know you hear us say that like a broken record, but it's so true. People want confidence, but then they're like, you don't know what goes into getting it. What goes into getting it is hitting enough shots that you, when there's nothing on the line, that you know how to execute it when there's something is on the line. So again, it's that point, that argument that we make to not always going to the range, unloading a bucket of balls, and then just swinging as hard as you can with your driver just to see if you can put one, you know, at that 300 sign or something like that.
Right, exactly.
It may seem like, you know, not your favorite thing to do, but if you want to fix this, you got to hit some of those 40-yard shots, 60-yard shots, those types of things, and just work on them. Just work on getting them out there. And what does that swing feel like? And then as you do, you're going to gain more confidence. A lot of times you're going to stop that second guessing. It's that last minute downswing second guessing that gets you, you know?
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to do, but like, I love that. Just work on your yardages. We had an interesting review come out on Golficity today for that Voice Caddy SC200, which is that kind of a launch monitor.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize this. Like, it has a built-in like game where it'll call out a yardage to you. And then it wants you to hit that yardage.
That's cool.
You know, yeah, that's really cool. So you could do it for your short game. It'll say like 60 yards and you'll have to try to hit it 60 yards. And I think that's where the confidence comes in. You just get used to it. And then you start to realize, all right, this is a less than full swing, but I've been here. I've done this. I can do it. And if you have confidence in it, do it. But even if, like, let's say you haven't had time to put Frank, I haven't had time to put that range work in just yet. What do I do this Saturday when I'm out there? What I would say is, no matter what, you can deal with it later. You can decompress in your mind, did I make the right decision? But whatever decision you make, commit to it.
Yeah.
So if it's going to be a half swing 52 degree wedge, make it a half swing 52 degree wedge and accelerate all the way through the ball. If it goes over your target by 10 yards, you can readjust. But it's going to be a lot better than decelerating halfway through because you're second guessing and muffing it.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's an important one. But here again, too, the next kind of tip that we have, and it goes into what you were saying, Mike, with the short game, deceleration is not just a problem that's limited to that full swing. You know, it can happen in those shorter shots. And it's often even a more common problem in that short game where you have that delicate touch that we've been talking about. But even something with chipping, right? We can see this before where you're like, you want to put it tight, or let's say you're going to a green that slopes away from you and you just don't want to be long. Again, confidence, confidence, confidence. It all keeps coming up and you decelerate. You know, you don't want to do that. And a good way to help avoid that, what we see is a lot of amateurs, and I've been guilty of this, you know, a lot of amateurs will end up taking their backswing back a little bit too far. And with that, they feel like they have to decelerate, even with putting. I've seen this with putting before, where you kind of take that backswing too far. So a great tip, just start by tightening up your backswing on those short chips and putts. If you tighten up your backswing, it's going to kind of force you to accelerate through the ball. All right. So you're getting yourself out of that position, you know, and it'll help you hit those great shots. And again, it's like if deceleration, if you have that in your short game, you know, make sure that you take a hard look at what your backswing looks like. How far are you bringing that club back? Because if you can tighten that up, bring it back a little less far, you're going to kind of be forced to accelerate through the ball, and it's going to be a good result on the swing and on what happens with the ball, really.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, there's so many different parts of this game. There's a reason why we have 14 clubs in the bag, right?
Yep.
You know, because everything has to click, everything has to work. And I'm thinking about my own game and how I really need to work on this. I need to tighten it up there in the short game. I definitely need to work on my mid game. And there's a couple other parts I need to put together. But this is the one, like you said, we don't really practice these 40-yard shots. And I need to just do it. Right?
You do. You got to do it. And then
I got to figure out.
We really don't have an excuse is the even shorter, the chip shots and stuff like that, because that pretty much anyone can find a way to practice it in their backyard. You know, even if your backyard is incredibly small, or, you know, you live in an apartment or something, you can get those, you know, wiffle balls and just find a really tight, small place to play. But just again, just getting used to that, not just accelerating all the way through. And it's just getting that rhythm, just keep doing it and doing it until you feel it. Another important point to help, you know, avoid that deceleration is, and again, this comes back to that confidence. A lot of it's going to come back to confidence. It's just, you need to make completely sure that the club you're holding is capable of handling the shot. So you got to make sure you're holding the right club. If you don't have the right club in your hands, or I think even more importantly, if you don't believe in your mind that you have the right club, you're most likely going to give up on that swing. That's where this quote unquote steering comes in. That's where the slowing down comes in. So you got to really make sure you're on the mark with your club selection.
Yeah.
Take the time, you know, to determine that exact distance to your target. Think about factors like wind, temperature, elevation change. And this is where too, again, we've talked about it so much. If you're a new listener to the show, if you don't have a pre-shot routine worked in, you should work it in, have something that forces you to really think about your strategy, because nothing will make you kick yourself more than just rushing through it, picking a club and then just hitting it and not being committed to it. And then you run into an issue like this.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So that can be a really important one. And if there's one final thought we'll have on the matter, it's that it's a great thing to do. And I really like this one, Mike, because it's so easy to do, you know, conceptually at least. All you got to really do is start thinking from a more positive perspective. We say this a lot about having that positive in your game versus all the negatives, but just remind yourself this, especially if you're someone who's struggling with deceleration, just say, rather than thinking about not decelerating, try to think positively about accelerating the club, you know, through the hitting area. Mm-hmm. So instead of always saying, don't decelerate, you know, just remind yourself, accelerate through it. So here's where we talked about before, during like your visualization, you don't realize some of the signals you're sending your brain, like don't hit it in the lake. Don't hit it in the lake. You know what I mean? And what happens? It goes in the lake. Or you always have that one hole you play, be like, no matter what I do, I'm under that tree on my tee shot, because you don't realize you're sending that signal to your brain, you know, to hit it under that tree shot, under that tree. So here again, like I said, you can sometimes just a simple mind shift where you're just thinking about accelerating. And we talked about before, Mike, that swing thought.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is a great one. If you're struggling with this, put that as your one swing thought to hold in your head. Just say, accelerate through the ball, you know, and then just go out there and attack it. So just by simply shifting your brain, instead of thinking, don't decelerate, just think, accelerate. Trust me, it seems like semantics, but it will help.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try it.
So that's it. I mean, that's all the, you know, everything with deceleration. I think if we got into it any bit more, we might be just beating a dead horse. You know, it comes down to it. This is the important stuff. Accelerate through it. Have confidence. Practice. You'll get there, and you won't wind up with that problem anymore. And practice under pressure too. Just like with putting, where we say simulate the pressure where you have to make five in order to like go home. You can do the same thing on the range. To grab that shot, you have problems with 60-yard shot. Mm-hmm. Pick a target out there. Be like, I got to put five on target before I go home.
Yeah.
So you got four. That fifth one, your knees are knocking a little bit, you know? So you know you got to make it happen. And that's where it can be a way to simulate that. Because if you're going to decelerate, you know, or if your confidence is going to wane, or you're going to start to steer the ball, it's largely because of the pressure situation is going to get you.
So if I don't nail those five on the green, do I have to get another bucket?
You got to get it's a monetary burden on you that you got to do that too. That'll really bring the pressure.
Yeah, and the pressure at home of not showing up for
dinner.
That's
true.
Come on.
Yeah, man. You'd be just thinking about how much trouble you're in. Talk about pressure.
Yeah, I'm going to try it.
Next time you've got $5 on the line on a hole, it'll feel like nothing.
Right, right.
So that's it. Mike, something just came to my mind that I wanted to share as a quick tip before we get out of here. One thing that I just shifted in doing, and just again, and it made me think about this, where you talk about mindset, think about the good, whatever. Mm-hmm. I had a really bad blow-up hole the other day. And I decided I'm going to do a new technique on blow-up holes. Every time I have a blow-up hole, I'm going to physically write underneath it on the scorecard one thing that I can learn. You can always pick one thing that you can learn, right? And if it's one thing I can learn from that, from whatever I messed up that caused that to happen, and then I can teach myself not to do that again, it's one more way that I can avoid having that blow-up hole again.
Right.
You know, so like I had one that I was over my tee shot, had no confidence in it, was just talking myself out of it. And I took the swing anyway. And I was, needless to say, I was immediately hitting 3 from the tee. Right.
Wow, yeah.
So I'm like, I wrote on the scorecard, be like, back away at all costs, if not ready, or something like that. Just a reminder for myself. And now I know I that's one thing I can learn. And then I can shift my mindset from a bad thing of saying this hole ruined my round to that hole taught me something that no other holes taught me. And I just try to do that mind shift. And I know it sounds quirky sometimes, but it's true. Just keep shifting it. And that's when you see your game start to improve.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I mean, you said blow up hole. I almost laughed in the middle of what you said because I took my daughter mini golfing the other day.
Yeah.
And I had a blow up hole on the third
Come
hole.
Come on.
No, listen, I had a 6 on the third hole. But let me tell you something. Because
the windmill got you?
Something got me out there. I think it was like an anchor in the middle of the course. But let me tell you something. I regained, got the confidence back. And let me tell you, I went on a streak of 2s for like 5 to 6 holes. But dude, that 6 was embarrassing because I think my 3.5-year-old daughter, I think she got a 4 on that hole. So,
man.
So, but hey, we all have the blow up holes. I love you. You know, your comeback there, but
that's hilarious. The blow up mini golf putt hole. Yep. I love it. All right, we'll do a special challenge for all the listeners. Tweet us or, you know, post something in the Facebook group, in the golf, the golf podcast Facebook group. I want to see your scorecard at a putt mini golf with a blow up hole. We'll see who has the worst story. The most embarrassing mini golf story wins.
Mini golf would be great. And even a step further, even if it's just a straight up blow up hole, that is so ridiculous. Like you hit the ball in the courtyard somewhere in someone's backyard and you ended up with like a 14 on a hole.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I love reading that stuff because I always want to know how the rest of your round go.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? If we can't laugh at it, you know, I mean, that's how you get over it. Rather than being the guy who wraps his club around a tree. Post it in our Facebook group. We'll laugh about it and see how it goes. If you haven't joined our Facebook group yet, it's free. It's really great. Really awesome conversations going on there. Just go to Facebook, search The Golf Podcast under groups. You'll see it pop up. Just join in because the conversation's been really, really fun. And it's been a great way too, Mike, when I just kind of come across those random things that I learned, like, you know, articles I like or whatever, I've just been posting them in there. I'm like, figure if it helped me, maybe it helps somebody else. So
exactly.
Great way to keep the learning and the conversation going between episodes.
Right. Yep.
So that's everything we have for you. You can get to the show notes as always by going to golfistsy.com/episode 132. And we appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back again with you next week.